Hey guys, before this episode begins, I just want to let you all know that I partnered with DAT Bootcamp to offer a 10% discount code on all bootcamp products. While studying for my DAT, I found DAT Bootcamp to be the best resource during my preparation. Their extensive review videos and practice exams are second to none. Use code DOD10 at checkout for a 10% discount, applicable to all programs Bootcamp has to offer. Again, that's DOD10 at checkout. Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of the Dose of Dental podcast. The focus of this podcast is to share undergraduate and dental school experiences from dental students and dental professionals through valuable discussions. Through sharing the journeys and stories of current dental students and dental professionals, our goal is to help you find answers or guidance for your own pre-dental journeys.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Dose of Dental podcast. We have a really special guest today. Her name is Ashley Flackner. She's currently a D2 at the UCLA School of Dentistry. So, Ashley, why don't you introduce yourself? Like, tell us a little about yourself, where you're from, where you're from.
Hi. So my name's Ashley. I'm a D2 at UCLA. I'm originally from Rancho Palos Verdes, California, which is like an hour south of LA. I went to UCSD in San Diego for undergrad, majored in neurobiology with a minor in dance, and I loved it down there. It was great. And I really got involved in dentistry with their student-run free clinics down there. So that was probably one of the things that like really sparked my interest and like let me continuing it. And now I'm here at UCLA, and I love it here, too. So,
nice. So why don't you tell us a little about, you know, of course, why did you decide to go into dentistry? Kind of take a step-by-step through how you kind of made the decision.
Yeah, so both my mom and my dad are actually dentists, and my aunt and my grandpa and, like, literally everyone in my family. So I've been surrounded by it for a while, but that's not the main reason. Like, a lot of my life, I was like, oh, I don't really want to do what they do. So I was like, I'll find my own thing, but I just think like one, like the lifestyle I think is something I would really gravitate towards, but like the why for me is like it's really one of the only careers I can think of that meshes like my passion for science with art and also like working with my hands. So I mentioned I was I minored in dance in undergrad, so I've been doing dance like my whole life, so art is something that's like really important to me. So obviously I'm not like dancing while I do dentistry, but like having a passion for art has really tied me down to this career. I think it's something that like I mentioned it in my application, like in my interview actually. It's like I used to choreograph dances for other groups and stuff, so the way I would choreograph a dance and kind of view it from like all angles, from like how the audience sees it, how people on the left, on the right, like costumes, lighting, that kind of stuff ties in, at least for me. And maybe it doesn't make sense to everyone, but for me it like impressed the people I was interviewing if they never heard something like that. But like when you do dentistry, you have to know like how the patient perceives it, how other people will see if you do like a veneer or a crown or something versus something like if the dancer's all the way in the back, maybe like a tooth in the back, the aesthetics isn't as important or something like that. So that kind of analogy, like I'm like, oh, actually that's kind of an interesting take on dentistry. But so combining that, and then I love working with my hands. One of my favorite hobbies is crocheting. So it's like grandma status. So I've been doing that a lot. I'm on break right now, so that was something fun that I've been doing. But yeah, so in my first year and quarter of dental school, I think I've been able to incorporate all of my love for science as a neurobiology major, but also dance and art and with my hands and everything. I just couldn't really think of a career that wouldn't have all those things.
That's true. And I think you mentioned crocheting. I remember doing it at I go to Stony Brook, so we had the dental school here. We did like a crocheting workshop, and dude, oh my gosh, I couldn't, like, it was my first time ever doing that, and like it just took such a long time to understand it. And so kudos to you. They make a lot of cool things, like bears, like small little like pillows or something. Like, I think it's a really interesting part. It's like very like nitty gritty. So I mean, something for male dexterity and the dancing thing, I think that's kind of like, maybe you could think about it as like treatment planning, like you're putting together like a whole thing. So I guess that's kind of something that they probably saw that was pretty cool. So why don't you take us a little bit through your undergrad? So like, when did you decide, going into undergrad, did you just, you already knew you wanted to do dentistry while you were like a freshman, right?
Yes.
How do you kind of tailor your experiences at undergrad to make sure that you set yourself up to apply to dental school?
Yeah, so like UCSD doesn't have a dental school, so I was like, oh, okay, I guess maybe I'll like start a club or something small. But it turns out UCSD has like one of the biggest pre-dental clubs in the nation. Like I had no idea. So when I got there, I was like, oh, okay, I guess I'll like throw a meeting. So it was like the first meeting, like freshman year, and I didn't know anyone, but it turned out to be like a blessing in disguise because they had the student-run free clinics, which is pretty much where undergrads. It's like one of the few, like one of two or one of three places in the whole country where. Like you're not like a licensed dental assistant or anything. You're just literally an undergrad student, and you can work alongside actual volunteer dentists and provide dental care for those without insurance and those without a home. So we would volunteer in like the basement of a church in Pacific Beach every Wednesday from like 5 p.m. to midnight, and just seeing as many emergency patients as we can. A lot of fillings, extractions, stuff like that. We would do longer treatments like dentures and things like that as well. So. It was really interesting to see these communities because I've done a lot of shadowing with my parents. They work in private practice. Like my mom has her own practice in Redondo Beach. So like that type of patient pool versus someone who doesn't even have a home and like needs to come to like a basement of a church on like 10 p.m. at night. That's a completely different patient pool. I also speak Spanish, so like being able to bridge like the language barrier in San Diego especially was something that I think really allowed me to connect with this population since the language barrier is like one of the biggest things facing and like one of the obstacles facing most dentists and patients in healthcare. So being able to bridge that, I think that was something that allowed me to connect more with the patients. And my mom's from Mexico, so I like can relate to a lot of their culture and I asked them what they cook and my mom cooks a similar thing when I was growing up. So it was kind of nice to make them feel at ease because probably being at the dentist is not the most amazing thing for people. So.
Yeah, for sure. I think for the language barrier is a really interesting point because even in the office I work at, we have so many patients who are like Spanish speaking, and we have this like Google chat machine thing that we do, like because we so we can all communicate. And every single day, I'm like, I just see an extension that needs an extension so that they can talk to the patient because none of us speak. Some of us speak fluent Spanish, but some of the people, like some of the assistants, might not be there a certain day. So like, if you know how to speak Spanish as a practitioner, I think that's like. You're increasing your patient pool. You're making them feel more comfortable. If your dentist can speak Spanish to you and tell you the treatment plan, then they just feel more comfortable, you know? And that's really awesome. So, and you also saw that dynamic between like your what you see in your parents' private practice with what you saw in that church. So I think that's really important. Is that something that you really talked to admissions committees about, like during your interviews too?
I did, yeah. So yeah, it's like that volunteering that I did as a like chairside assistant is pretty much what I was. And then I got my X-ray license as well. I'm from California. So I got to take X-rays as well. So that whole working in the free clinics with the volunteer dentist, there's different dentists every time too. So it was
Right.
like good networking as well. But yeah, I'm super passionate about volunteering. It's something that I've did from day one as a freshman all the way, even through COVID. We paused for a little bit, but obviously the dental needs don't just go away if there's a pandemic. So we put so much PPE on that like, you couldn't even like breathe. But we were like seeing patients still and like still serving the population. I had the opportunity to be like a clinic manager, so I could oversee one of the clinics and like train our new volunteers. And it was in Lemon Grove, which is I think one of the cities in San Diego County that has like the lowest income level. So it's located like in a school, so the parents can just obviously there wasn't school during COVID, but before COVID they could bring their kids to school and then there's no like oh I have to take the bus or drive 2 hours to find a place that accepts like Medi-Cal or something like that. So yeah, that's something that I really brought up to the admissions. I think they know people from UCSD usually do that, but it was cool to be a part of that as well just because it's such a unique opportunity and I'm really glad I got to do it. Like really cemented my understanding of dental. Obviously it's not full understanding of dentistry but like full exposure I guess. Because a lot of like I did shadowing too, and that's usually what most people can do since you need like a license or something to be more like a dental assistant or X-ray technician. So I did shadowing for sure, but having this hands-on opportunity was something that was unique and I'm really glad I had.
So does California require a license to be dental assistant?
I think for most like established practices, I think some people can like it's not probably not very legal, but if you're running short on people, you can kind of just
Just do it.
have someone do it. But I think legally, I think you're supposed to. But yeah, so I did like my x-ray certification. So I did like some x-rays I did a lot of x-rays in the free clinics, and then my mom let me do some in her practice as well. So I just got to practice. But yeah, it depends how busy you are and how much you want to risk, I guess. But yeah.
Gotcha. And so can you talk a little bit about, you know, your dancing? So like, how big a role did that play in your undergrad as well? Like, did you continue doing it, and did you kind of somehow connect it with dentistry? Like you said before, like you kind of did, but can you just go a little bit more in depth?
Yeah.
So I've
been dancing my whole life since I was like 16 months. My mom got me a little pair of ballet shoes, like custom order. So, but yeah, in undergrad, so being a dance minor, so I had like 1.5 years of regular school, and then COVID came. So then it was online. And then my last 2 or 3 quarters at UCSD, or maybe like last 2 quarters, was back in person again. So before COVID, there was like obviously class in person. So I would take my like science classes half the day, and then I would do like my dance classes in like the latter half of the day. So it was like all different types, contemporary, ballet, tap, dancing, like all the different kinds of dance. And then once COVID came, we did dance in like our living rooms. So you remember using like a clothes rack as like a ballet bar in like my living room. But and then like my last quarter, I did tap dancing again. But I think it was such like a stress reliever, because all like my neurobiology, you know, classes and OChem and physics and all these classes that are like you need for dental school, but are not necessarily the most enjoyable. Like, I really like OChem. That's actually one of my favorite classes. But for most people, I guess it's not very enjoyable. So it was some kind of like a stress reliever. And just kind of bringing like my artsy side out, since I've been doing like science all day or volunteering in the dental clinic and stuff like that. So, but I also had the opportunity to be like a dance mentor or like a dance choreographer for this group called Ready, Willing, and Able, which I've been doing since I was a freshman in high school, actually. And it's where I would like lead warm-ups and create choreography for young adults with like autism and Down syndrome, cerebral palsy, all like people with intellectual disabilities. So I've been helping that community ever since, like I said, a freshman in high school. And I just really wanted to carry it into college as well, since I was super passionate about it. And so being able to create choreography for like different populations, I guess, is like kind of what you're saying, like different kind of like treatment planning almost. So it's like the choreography that I would create for like a 20-year-old who is in like a wheelchair is different than like an experienced dancer, like who's done dance like their whole life. So just kind of adapting my art or my experiences for someone who needs different things. I like, it's kind of a stretch, but I like use the analogy, and like I think it's kind of cool. It's kind of like treatment planning, I guess, for people who have different needs and different. And here at UCLA, we have like a special patient care clinic. So I had the opportunity to shadow there as well, and seeing people, like, it's not just like intellectual disabilities, but it's people who have like extensive health history, people who have like end stage liver disease or who underwent chemo and can only open up their jaw like an inch or something. So it's an interesting experience, because I guess when people think like special care, special needs, they kind of just think, oh, like autism or Down syndrome is like the first thing you probably think of. But it was an interesting opportunity. But back to my dance thing. So I was doing that for most of high school and college. And then during COVID, I had the opportunity to do it through Zoom. So bringing dance to people in their homes, which was kind of interesting, because obviously, even just like for you and me, like COVID was not something that was very enjoyable, as people who are like trying to go to school probably and just like locked up in the rooms. I was studying for the DAT at that time, and like it was not something that was great. So I can imagine for someone who like is maybe like nonverbal or like doesn't have the opportunity to go to school or kind of just like locked at home with their families, and they could be like 30 years old, like sometimes they're not just like children. So having the opportunity to have like 1 hour a week of just like dancing in their house is something that I thought was important and probably brought some smiles to people. So I had the opportunity to do that during COVID. And then, yeah, so I've just been doing that for a really long time. I love that program, and it was something that I love helping that community as well. And yeah, it was something I'm really passionate about.
That's awesome. So, I mean, you got all these experiences. Did you do like anything else besides, did you like any academic kind of work, like TA or like something besides dancing and something that really stuck out on your resume, on your application, you think dental school is really loved also?
So I put a lot of my time obviously into school and into like volunteering the dental clinics. I was like, I had leadership in that club as well. So I didn't TA and actually didn't do any research. But I think just, I didn't want to like put like all my eggs like in one basket, like with the dental clinic. So I like did like, I was like a social media department head and like mentorship. So we had like bigs and littles in our club and stuff. So I like took on those type of roles and like clinic manager in the clinic and stuff. So I try to be more like emphasis on clinical, just to, like to really ensure that this is what I want to do with my life, just because I didn't want to get to dental school and be like, oh, maybe I don't really like it as much as I thought. So, and just like try to keep my grades up, obviously. So I wasn't in like academic clubs per se, but I did well in my classes and stuff like that. And yeah. And then go ahead.
No, you're good. Go on.
Oh, okay. Oh, and I was in a social sorority for a little bit. It wasn't necessarily my favorite thing, but I just wanted to try it just to get a college experience. But kind of say that you did. I'm not much of a sorority type person, but it was an interesting experience. It's a little cutthroat, but not as cutthroat as you see like in the movies. So it was a little bit more chill at UCSD, but I didn't stay in it my whole college, but I met like some of my best friends in there. So like my big and my little are like my best friends to this day. So, yeah.
At UCLA, are you like, you're in your second year now, just kind of started. When do you guys start seeing patients in clinic?
In a couple of weeks, actually. Like in this fall quarter. So I'm on break right now until like the end of September. And then like during the summer quarter, we went to the clinic to practice like prophies, like perio probing and scaling and all that stuff, like on our like bench partner, the person who sits next to us in the lab and stuff. So we had the opportunity to do that because that's going to be our first kind of requirement. So in the fall we have like one prophy requirement, so I'm a little scared, but I'm actually kind of excited. But
because I was saying, because of your extensive work with like, you know, the younger population, and even seeing a lot of patients in the clinic, do you feel like you're set yourself up for being able to have really good patient care skills? Like, do you feel like you'll be comfortable seeing your first patients? Like, how do you think that's going to go?
Yeah, I mean, I hope it goes good. I think it'll go well. I think, I'm like a little bit more of like an introverted person, but when it comes to like seeing other people, or like when I have to like step up to the plate type thing, I can be very like talkative, but also like make people feel at ease, because I know like the dentist is not everyone's favorite person, especially if it's at like a school and you know you're being seen by like a student, maybe like it's the first patient, like, you know, like it's not some like experienced like dentist in Beverly Hills or something. Maybe that would be more comfortable for them. But I really hope it goes well. And like, I'm sure it will. And like, if it's someone who speaks only Spanish, like I can communicate with them with that as well. And like, it's good that it's just like a prophy. It's not like an extremely invasive thing. So I can kind of get used to it. And like the software system we have called Axiom, it's like where you put in like all the charting and all that stuff. Like I heard that's kind of like an obstacle to get used to too. So I think that might be more of the issue. We've had practice, we've had training, so it'll be what it'll be. But I'm really excited. I think I'm like well prepared for the actual like practical part of it, like all the scaling and probing and all those things. I've seen that done a lot, and like, we got to practice it a lot, and we had that class this summer on like type it on. So. And like practicing on each other was like a lot easier than I expected. It's cool.
Awesome. So let's go back real quick, because I wanted to ask that question, but let's go back. So how'd you kind of start getting yourself ready to apply to dental schools? And what did you kind of like, how was the process of applying in terms of the ASCESS application? Like, was it as straightforward as you thought? Was there like any obstacles that you had to overcome, challenges? And like, how was the DAT, I guess? So you can just go through like, I guess, everything the pre-dentals want to know about applying to dental school. Because I know it's that time of the year, so.
Yeah. Let's see. So I knew I didn't want to take a gap year. So I like planned myself out that I just, obviously if I got in, then that would be the plan, which I did, which was good. But so in the UCSD Pre-Dental Society Club, we were like matched up with like a big or like a mentor. So I'm really glad that I did that program as well, just because I would be kind of lost without it. And I obviously there's people I could ask and like our faculty and stuff, but this is someone who like just went through it. She like was in her third year when I was just coming in, so like she was kind of getting ready to apply or applying already and taking the DAT and all that stuff. So I had that, which was really helpful. And then let's see, I think it was the summer between my sophomore and junior year I took the DAT. It was summer 2020, which is great. It's COVID. And I used DAT Bootcamp only. And I think it was like Ari's schedule. I forgot like the name of the person, but it was like whoever made DAT Bootcamp. It was like their schedule is like a 10-week schedule. It was like every day except Sundays, because I took Sundays off for my own self, because I don't think I could do it every day. Yeah. And it was good. It turned out good. I got a 21 all around, which was what I was like aiming for. Obviously I could have liked to do better, but given the circumstances of being COVID and I was like going through like a rough time as well, like a breakup and all that stuff. So it was just kind of a lot to deal with myself, and just also being at home, like living with my parents, like, which is great. Like I love my parents, but I mean, I think living at home after being at college is like a kind of a transition, but just doing all that. And I don't remember all of like the individual scores, but I think they were all above 20 or something like that. But like nothing is spectacular, which is like what my point is, that like, yeah, like I'm at UCLA, which is like one of the best in the country, but it's like they really do look at everything like holistically. Like you don't have to get like 30s and everything to be at UCLA. So like, I guess that's one of my pieces of advice. I like, because I get people messaging me all the time, like, oh my God, like I got like a 19 in one section. Like, do I have to retake it? I'm like, please don't. Like,
you're good.
Like, don't do it again. It's terrible. But so yeah, like, obviously it would be great if I did like 25s, that'd be more like secure or whatever, but it really doesn't make that much of a difference. Like that's like, it's really not that serious. Like it's like, take it very seriously, like put in all the time you can. And like, I was someone who knew that I didn't want to do it more than one time. Like I just wanted to take it once and do it. And I studied over like 600 hours and it was rough, but it's just what you have to do. So that's whatever I have to do. And like, we're all here and smiling still. So it's like, it's not the end of the world.
Exactly.
Yeah, like it's just a big test, but I mean, we've all taken tests, and like I think being like a STEM major like really prepared me. Like I knew a lot of like the OChem bio stuff. I think I like didn't have to learn a lot for it, so it's just like reviewing stuff that maybe I took in like evolutionary biology. Like I don't really know remember what that it was, but like just kind of going over it. But DAT Bootcamp was a really good resource. Like they, if you know nothing, but you can learn it all there too. So it was helpful, but. Yeah, it was good. And then let's see. And then I think I started applying. You could apply like June 1st. At least when I applied that year, it was like June 1st, but it was like Eastern time, like midnight. So it was technically like you could apply like May 31st at like 9 p.m. And so I remember doing that. So. Yeah. So I did that. And then, I only applied to 6 schools. It was the 6 in SoCal here. Just because I just didn't feel like I really wanted to move across the country or anywhere. Like I'm sure all the schools are amazing, but I just couldn't really see myself in some states that I just know I wouldn't fit in there. So, but, I applied to, I guess the ones down here, cause like UCLA, USC, Loma Linda, Western. Oh, and I also did apply to UOP and, UCSF, I guess. So the 2 in San Francisco. But like I knew we really wanted to stay in SoCal. Those were more like if everything else went bad, then if I got in there, then I would go there. But so I did that. And then, I'm not the most religious person. So Loma Linda was like, hey, bye. So they didn't really want me, but that's okay. And then I ended up getting interviews at UCLA, USC, Western, and UOP. And since it was still kind of like COVID times, all my interviews were online, like Zoom, except for UOP. So it was cool to go to UOP and see like San Francisco and see the school. The school is beautiful, but I just like couldn't really see myself like in like the surrounding area. I just didn't see myself. Like I'm not a huge like big city person. So like I just didn't see myself, but obviously I would go anywhere because it's just like, you know, it's 4 years, like you get the best education you can and then you can go wherever you want. But so then I did all the interviews. They were pretty chill. They were a lot more relaxed than I thought they would be. I thought they were like really cutthroat, but everyone was really nice. All the faculty and all the students who interviewed me was like really nice. And it was nice to be like on Zoom. So I think everyone kind of did this, but we had like sticky notes like on our window and kind of like having like prompts. And if they ask like, oh, why dentistry? And then they're like, oh, let me just look over. I think I came in very prepared, which I think is really important. Like, know where you want to go. If you don't want to leave the state, it's okay. Like, I had a lot of people telling me, like, you're really, like, limiting yourself. Like, this is your time to explore. But if, like, you're not someone who wants to leave, like, where you're from, that's totally okay. Like, just, like, really, like, know what you want and, like, be open-minded, obviously. But if, like, you know you're someone who doesn't want to leave, or you know that you want to go to this, like, one program, or, like, you want to go for these reasons and people telling you otherwise, like, just, like, really know what you want.
Right.
So,
yeah. So, I mean, after your interviews, how did you kind of choose where you wanted to go? Did you get multiple acceptances, or did you just kind of decide UCLA was the one?
Yeah, I mean, I actually thought I would never get into UCLA. Like, I was like, oh, like, I don't think my DAT is high enough. Like, I don't know. So I interviewed at those four, like UCLA, USC, Western, UOP, and then I got accepted into all of them as well. And that was good to have options. And I don't know, it was just because, like, I went to UOP, and like I mentioned, it wasn't, like, the surrounding area just didn't really seem like something I wouldn't see myself there. Like, they do have a three-year program, which sounded enticing, but it also sounded really difficult. So I just didn't know if that would also be for me. Like, finances was also a big thing. Like, UCLA is one of the more affordable options from being from California. So, I mean, it's only like 45 minutes away from my family as well. So, that was also an option. UCLA, like, gave me like a first year scholarship as well. So that was like another reason. And just like in the pass fail system, I think, like, we do pass fail here. So it makes it a little less cutthroat, but not that it's easy at all. It's literally anything but easy. I think I came in thinking it would be not as cutthroat, but not cutthroat, but I knew it would be hard, and it is hard, but it's like hard for like different reasons that I thought it would be, but I'll get into that, I guess, next. So I think it was more like finances, location, the pass-fail system, I think, has made it like, I feel like you make more friends that way. Like, it's less like, I think, like, if I went to another school where, I mean, just being an undergrad where it was like a grade system, like, people would give each other like the wrong answers on purpose, like, to study, so like they would do better. And I'm like, this is an interesting concept. I'm like, we're all here to get good grades. And I know it's like they grade on a curve and stuff. So like, everyone just kind of keeps to themselves, but I think it's kind of better to be like making more friends. You can help each other, you can study together. And like, if you get honors, like, we have honors too. So it's like pass, fail, and honors. So.
Interesting. I mean, so how what were you expecting going into like your first year of dental school? It was basically last year, but like, what were you kind of feeling going in? You know, how was your first year kind of like? Was it, how fast did you guys get to clinic? Like, was it as hard as you thought it would actually be? Like, what kind of courses did you have to take during that first year?
Yeah, so I think the way that UCLA is set up is that it's like the first year is like purely like we're in the simulation lab and we're in like taking regular classes and stuff. And then second year is a mix of both, the hardest year. So we're doing a lot of classes and a lot of patients. And then third and fourth year are mainly just patients. So far I've done a lot of classes and a lot of, you know, like all the body systems classes. We've done, like, we started with gross anatomy. Oh, that was an amazing class. That was my favorite class. And then we started like with waxing. That was like our first dental related class, like in the simulation lab. And then we did like direct restoration, indirect restoration. So kind of getting our hand skills up to par. I think that's where I thought it wasn't going to be as difficult. I'm like, oh, it's just drilling, you know, but it's actually like, and obviously we have loops and things, and like, we're all like improving a lot, and I'm seeing myself improve a lot, but just like the way that they grade is like really like meticulous. Like, if you're off by like a 0.1 millimeter, then like you feel the whole thing. So it's like it's really tough, and I think it's a little like mentally and emotionally taxing, I think, for a lot of us. Like, we've been the top of our class, always, and we come from like amazing schools and probably haven't really like failed many tests or like just failed much at life ever. So it's just kind of like we're like driving at the top all the time, and then these practicals, it's like if you're off by just like a little bit, if it's too big, obviously like yeah, you kind of have to like wrangle it in. But if it's like too small, then we have something called like a correctable, so you can kind of just fix it and show them, and then you can stick the same as passing. But just like seeing like a fail like again and again, and it's like it's obviously there's less now than there were at the beginning, but it's just kind of like mentally like, am I even supposed to be here? Like, why did they let me in? Like, I see everyone, like a lot of people passing, like why am I not passing? And it's like obviously I've seen myself improve like tremendously, so something's working, which is good. But it's that's kind of like my expectation, that I thought it would be kind of more like, okay, we do the drilling, you know, you do the filling and it's done and you turn in and it's great. But it's a lot harder than it is, and it takes a lot of practice. And we had our like denture course this summer. That was like the whole thing. So that was like one of the most like humbling experiences. I'm like, oh, you just put the teeth in and they magically are in a faith and whatever. But it was something like we all struggled a lot with that class. And so, but it was like, we put in the time, and yeah, I think it'll be good. So
I think it's cool when, cause you remember you mentioned when you did the clinics, you saw a lot of denture cases.
Mm-hmm.
How you're actually doing the denture, you realize how actually like hard it might actually be like when you're doing it.
That's the exactly.
Yeah. It's a pretty like cool moment to think about. And then also, how was that? You know, you said you had like some experience in Arley. Did you think that translated to the manual dexterity part of like actually drilling into, you know, your practice? I guess you have like little practice things you guys drill into.
Yeah.
Holes and stuff. So like, did you feel like that translated, or was it just a whole different thing that like,
I think it did. Like, I think it did translate. Like, I think like things like waxing, where it's like tooth anatomy mixed in with art, I think that helped a lot. Like, I think I was better at waxing than I thought it would be, especially when we did it again, like in our spring quarter versus the fall quarter. So I think that really helped. And just like seeing like knowing if things look like aesthetically good or not, I think art has helped me with a lot with that. So obviously in dance, and especially like ballet, it's like a really strict dance form. So like if your feet are pointed or if like your legs are straight, it's like things look aesthetic or they don't look aesthetic. So those kind of things carried over. And like if your filling is done and it's all scratchy and bumpy and there's like tons of excess, you can kind of tell if it looks good or if it doesn't look good. And I think just like having that like meticulous eye for like, okay, like I know I can do better because I know it looks bad, versus if someone who doesn't, never done art, like you can base it off the photo that they give you in lecture, but like I have this like eye for art, and I think it kind of helps like knowing like when you're done, because you can always keep polishing the filling until it looks amazing, but like there's a time when you like, you know, okay, you're done, like it's fine. Like I think this is the kind of thing that like, you know, like it looks good and kind of just like moving on type thing, because like you can work on it forever, but you have to be efficient. So
yeah. Did you guys start I don't know if you said it, but did you guys start clinic very early when you guys first got the D1, like right away?
No, we didn't. I think, I mean, like, we're in, like, the simulation lab.
Which simulation lab,
yeah. Yeah, it was, like, just simulation lab. Yeah, like, on the first course was waxing, so we were in the simulation lab, and, like, we were there, but we weren't, like, drilling on the type of it on. Yeah, that was, like, our next quarter, winter quarters, and we started, like, direct restorations, just easy, like, class one. I mean, it's not easy, actually, but, like, class one, it's still not easy. Just like class ones, like number 19 or something, like something where, like direct vision, you can totally see what you're doing. And then we started indirect restorations, like with crowns and stuff. And then now this whole summer, we just did class twos, like indirect vision, like on like the maxillas. So that was like the whole summer. It's like doing something that's probably one of the harder things to do. So we spent like a lot more time in the simulation lab. And this whole second year, we spent a lot more time like just like perfecting our skills and getting like our speed up. I think that's the thing that like, they grade so hard, so like we all spend like 3 hours doing like a prep or something, so we kind of have to get like our get up speed because it's a little slow right now. But I think like the way of teaching is helpful though. Like they do grade really hard, but they're making us like know exactly what to look for. And obviously in the real teeth, like we can't have the ideal form, like if like someone has like a lot of decay and stuff. So but I think the way they're teaching, like it seemed really hard at the beginning, and I'm like, oh, this is really unfair, like this is not right, but it is, and like there is a reason why that they're doing this, and I think it'll yield good results.
And you guys have like a lot of upperclassmen that are there to like help you along the way, or is like, is there a lot of, how much help is there at UCLA in terms of upperclassmen, like maybe like D3, D4 is kind of coming in a clinic or sim lab and kind of teaching you guys best?
Yeah, there is. Yeah. It's kind of like they have like tutoring nights, like Monday, like this summer with like denture tutoring and stuff like that. So they have those nights, but also like I have a big who's really helpful as well. So like if I ask her, she'll come and help me with anything probably. So like you kind of have to ask for it. It's not always there, but like everyone's very helpful and very willing to help. And like they've all been in my shoes too. So like, they know the hard classes and they know like tips and tricks, and they have some like faculty who are there to tutor as well. So
gotcha.
It's not always accessible, but it's always there, but you just kind of have to reach out for it. But some days like they have set tutoring hours and they'll come help you and stuff. So yeah, and it's really nice. It's been very like supportive, which I like.
It's awesome. All right. Yeah. So you talked a little bit about the help that you get at UCLA. You know, now you're going into your second year now. And you said that summer was really filled with a lot of restoration work, like kind of practicing. So do they tell you like what you're going to be seeing in your face patients, or is that kind of like a whole, is that like you have to make a treatment plan, you got to talk to facts, you got to do all this other stuff? Like, what are you expecting from seeing your first few patients in the next few weeks?
Yeah, so I know, all we kind of know is that it's just going to be like a prophy. So there's going to be some scaling and some probing, and that's all we kind of really know. So, and like coronal polishing or whatever. But beside that, we don't really, I think the way it works is like we're put in like a team. So we have like a D3 and D4 link. So they'll do like they'll do the treatment planning, and they will do like the more complex cases that like endo or things that I'm like more complex things that I'm not ready for yet. And then at least at the beginning, I'll do like the prophase and like basic direct restorations. I don't think we're doing direct restorations this quarter. I think it's starting in winter quarter, but that's kind of all we really know as of right now. It's kind of like a jump in the dark kind of thing, but it's kind of exciting. It's like, I don't know, like I don't really know what to expect. I don't really know what it's like at other schools, but it's just gonna be what it's gonna be. I don't know, like I'm really excited, and I think it's like a good opportunity because I'm very like structured, routine based person. Like I want to know all the answers all the time. I like to be planning ahead, so I think this kind of environment is like a little out of my comfort zone, but I think it's also good because in like the real world, I'm not always gonna know who's gonna walk through the door and all their health history and exactly what they need. Like it's like a puzzle, you know, like you have to, especially like with treatment planning. Like I'm not doing that part yet. It's like in our D3 year we start doing that, but so like they're gonna come in, they're just gonna be like, okay, on this tooth you have to do this thing. So like I don't have to like search for it, but like that's the extent that I think it'll be. That like obviously like when we just do a prophy, it's like the whole mouth type thing, but when we start doing direct restorations, like they're just gonna tell me, okay, this tooth needs this type of class. And class two with the composite, so it's like it's not much for me to figure out. But I think once I get into D3 and D4 year, it'll be more like the real world type thing, where like, okay, the patient comes in, like you don't really know what kind of medications they're on, you don't know how that'll affect their treatment plan, you don't know what kind of like health conditions they have and how that'll affect the treatment plan and if they are allergic to anything. So like a lot of like detective work, which I'm excited to do because we've done a lot of like cases and like, oh, this person is taking like these drugs and you can't give epinephrine on this, like this patient and stuff like that. So we learned a lot about it, but I'm excited to put it into practice because obviously safety is the main priority, but it's also interesting to know like there's so many different types of patients out there, like with different health histories and different wants, and people are very like in their ways that like maybe are controversial or wrong, or like they want to do it a certain way, but it's not like for their best interest, or like they want all their teeth removed just so they could have dentures or something. So it's like kind of interesting to how to like, yeah, I'm just a student, because so they probably view that in a certain way. Like, everyone's super grateful, which I'm very glad about. But if I was someone and like, oh, I know like they're just a student, like they don't know what they're talking about. Like that kind of like holding my ground that like I'm a student, yeah, but also like I'm being supervised and I've been trained to do this, and like you chose to come here so that like you know what you're getting yourself into. Like it's gonna be a 3-hour appointment and like something might go wrong, like that's just how it has to be. But like obviously we're gonna try our best to be as efficient and safe as possible, but Yeah, so like back to your question, I think it's, we don't really know what we're getting ourselves into, but I think that's, it's kind of exciting. But I think at least like for just at the beginning, it's very supervised and like more simple procedures. But yeah, I'm excited though.
Pretty sure as you go throughout D2 and then D3, D4, you're going to get into like having your own patients and like being responsible for them as like as the provider. So that's going to be really fun, I think. And we'll get you back on the podcast when you go through those 2 years.
Yeah,
you have a lot more to say, like in terms of what, how UCLA kind of handles, or how UCLA dental students can handle their patients. But I want to talk a little about like UCLA itself. So what is the atmosphere like? What are the vibes like? Like what, you know, how are the, how are your classmates, class size, like how is the facility? Like what are your like initial thoughts of UCLA before you even go there? And then now like what, looking back on your first year, what kind of atmosphere does that school kind of give you?
Yeah, so I mean, like the name itself is like everyone knows UCLA. Like it's like the name carries, which I was like, oh, like I don't know if that is really important. Like I don't, obviously don't want to choose a school just because of the name, but obviously there is a reason that like the name is there, and it has like a lot of history to the school and a lot of history to the campus and a lot of people who've gone there, and like their success stories and a lot of like I know a lot of dentists who went through there and they have like amazing things to say about it. So I was like, okay, obviously like this, it's not just a name, it's something that like is important and there's a reason why it's voted like one of the best dental schools like continuously like year after year. So I was like really excited to be admitted there. Like I said, I really didn't think I could get in, like honestly. So I was, it's a humbling experience. But the classmates are amazing. Like they're super nice. Like they come from all over the country, all over the world, honestly. So it's cool because like where I went to high school, it was a very like the type of people, like they look just like me. So it was like everyone's kind of the same type thing. And it was like, it's a, like a bubble, honestly. So I was excited to go like to undergrad to UCSC where like diversity is like one of their main things that they vouch for. And it was great to see that too. And I see it here as well. So I think that's something that's like lets me like grow as a person since like my whole life I've been in this bubble where like, everyone looks like me. All the families are the same. Like me being like half Mexican was already like the most diverse thing that we had. So it was like, no one would really guess I'm Mexican. Just like, if you look at me, I guess if that's what people are thinking about. But yeah, so the diversity has been great. And like all the different, like their background, they come from a different country. And some people have had like a totally different job before. Like this, they're not just straight out of college like me. So yeah, we're a class of 88, which is really small in my opinion. And I really like that because I went to UCSD where my lecture like hall seated like 400 people. So it was like, I really liked it a lot. And I knew that was something that I really wanted to look for. I think all of the schools, or a lot of the schools I applied to had like smaller class sizes, which was good. But I think it's allowed me to like, I'm not really someone who goes into like one group only. Like I'm kind of friends with everyone, and which I think has also been helpful. There's inevitably going to be drama and all these things that come on. So it's like, I'm not really in the center of it because I'm not in like one clique or whatever you want to call it only. So like, I try to befriend everybody. And like, we sit in the same like row for lab, and it's like based on last names. So like, we've gotten to know each other like really well, people I've never like really thought I would ever talk to. Just like, oh, they're just like some person in my class. But now like I sit next to them and then we talk every day. So it's been nice. Yeah, like everyone's really friendly. And there's like, obviously, like naturally there's going to be like groups or cliques, if you will, whatever you want to call them. But like, they're not like exclusive. Like, it's not like, oh, like I'm not going to talk to you because you're in a different group. Like it's not high school, you know, like some people here are like 30 already or like older, who already have kids. So like, you're going to act like that, like dumb, honestly. Yeah. But so yeah, like everyone's super nice and like willing to like go get food. And like, people are very helpful in lab. Like if you, like in like the middle of the practical, like if you like forget a material or like break an instrument, they'll be like, they're there, like here, like you can use mine because I already finished or whatever. Like they're really nice. Like it's not like, oh, like you failed, like that sucks for you, like whatever. So it's like, because I've seen that like in other schools, and it scares me actually, because like I'm here like just like you, like I happen to have an off day today, like maybe that'll be you tomorrow. So like, if you help me today, like I'll help you tomorrow. But if you don't help me today, I'm not going to help you tomorrow. Like it's, that's not nice. And but people are very genuine and very willing to help. And yeah, like the campus itself is nice. It's it's historic, if you say.
Real.
Dated, but it has like a lot of history or character, whatever you want to call it. But like they've had so much research go through there, like a lot of publications, so many like groundbreaking discoveries and stuff. It looks a little old on the outside. It's not like, I wouldn't say it's the most modern working dental school, but it works. Like it has the mannequin heads, whether the skin's on it or not, or whatever. But it's like, yeah, it's what I thought UCLA would be like, which it's not good. I mean, that's not, it's not bad, but it's like, it's not the newest dental school. And that's like, I didn't really care that much of, like that when I was choosing dental schools, I'm like, oh, I have to go to the newest one or like the most modern one. I wanted to go to the one that I knew would prepare me the most. So like, if it doesn't have, like, it doesn't have the highest technology or something like that, but like they're growing. And it's like, we had this new like simulation thing where, I forgot what it's called, but it's like, and you can drill, but like this, it's not actually drilling. It's like haptic feedback. Like you can kind of feel what it feels like. Like if you're drilling and you go through the pulp, it'll like go right through it. You're not actually drilling on a real tooth. It's like digital. So that's like one of the new things that we have. Like, oh, if you mess up, okay, it's like restart it again. Like it saves you teeth. Like it's in development. It's not as great as if you're drilling on real teeth, but like you can sense like, huh?
It's as close as you'll get.
Oh, yeah.
Digitally, so.
Exactly, yeah. So exactly. So when you don't want to pay for more teeth or whatever, then you could go and do that. And like, it's cool because like they have like specific cases that like, it's like number 8, like PFM crown or whatever. And then you can do it. And then it'll tell you like how much of like the enamel and the dentin you've removed, or like how much, if you're doing like a caries case, it'll tell you like, oh, you're like 85% of the caries removed. So it might look like you've gotten all of it, but it like helps you practice to like, oh, maybe you need to go a little bit more like into the dentin or something. So it's interesting. Like they're slowly incorporating that. We do like, we've done some scanning, like with the digital scanning. That's a like part of our curriculum. So I think like it's not the most high tech school, but like they're slowly trying to incorporate it, which I'm really glad about because that's like where the future is headed. So I'm glad that we get to do some digital scanning. We get to use technology because that's like how the future is going to be. So like at least like we're not doing film x-rays anymore or something like that. So yeah, so I think it matched my expectations for sure. And I'm glad it did, because it, like I'm happy here. And yeah, so like I'm not a huge big city person, so that's like the one thing, but like that's not UCLA's fault, that's me. So it's like it's in the best like compromise. Like it's in Westwood, which is, it's not like downtown LA, so it's in the city, but it's in like, I don't know, like everything, and there's still like a big Target here and like a big,
yeah. It's all, you're not like, you're not like inside the downtown area,
yeah,
like a little bit, yeah. But you're seeing everything you need over there.
So yeah, exactly. And I live like 5 minutes away from the school, so yeah, I turned into a new apartment. So that was an interesting transition as well, because I used to live with the school, like through like UCLA housing, and then I moved in with my boyfriend to this new apartment this past June, I guess. Nice. So yeah, so it's been good to be close to the school, because like I know like D2 year we're going to be a lot in the simulation lab and stuff, and we're going to be in there late. I already saw it this summer, like working on dentures at like midnight. I never thought that would be me, but that's me. Mm-hmm. So it's been good to like live close as well. So everything's really accessible. Like the town is nice. It's a college town. So like the actual UCLA main campus is there. So they have all the food you can imagine, and it lives up to LA's stereotype. It's good. You know what that is. Yeah.
So do you like have any like last minute pre-dental advice for, you know, pre-dentals that are starting to apply, or they don't even know if they just continue doing dentistry, or like even if they're not sure whether to choose it or not, and like, what schools to apply to, if they're just kind of like looking for some advice to get them through this part of their life. Do you have any of that?
Yeah, I have a lot of that actually. I've been helping some like pre-dental students like along the way. People message me like, is this good? Or like, can you look at my personal statement or any of this stuff? So like, I just try to like keep it as like, I don't know, like when I give advice, it's like, this is like my experience, like take it with a grain of salt, I guess. But that was like, this whole podcast was, I guess. But also, I guess my advice is like, I think I hinted at it before, but like if you know what you want to do, and it's not just like you being like lazy or something, but like if you actually like have gone through the steps of getting advice and stuff, and like this is what you want to do, like please stick to it, because it's really easy to get derailed and like compare yourself to other people. I guess that's another big thing, is like you might have a totally different journey as someone else. Maybe someone else gets like an amazing DAT score and like an amazing GPA, and like maybe they didn't do any like volunteering, but you did all this stuff, and maybe you're just like a little like quote unquote like below average of DAT. Like just don't look at the numbers. Like it really like doesn't make that much of a difference. Like it does obviously if you're like very below, but like if you're within the realm, like just do what you want to do, and also do things that are also not dental related too. Like not everything has to be dental school. Like I think I've learned this year, like nothing is that serious really. Like it seems like it is, and like do good in school obviously, but like take time for yourself and like spend time with your friends and your family. And like I like doing yoga and crocheting, so like I make time for that. Like I stay an hour less in the lab just so I can go like to the yoga class or whatever. Like do things that you want to do, because like this whole process will like burn you out like completely if like you don't do things that you want to do. But as far as like the dental stuff, like if you know you only want to apply to like these certain schools, like yeah, you know it's a big risk, and like maybe you won't get in, but maybe you will get in. So like think positively, because I'm also not a super positive sometimes, and like sometimes it like doesn't help. So it's like stick to what you want, because it's really easy. People will try to sway you either like for their benefit, like oh, like you shouldn't apply there because they probably just want your spot. So it's like stick to what you want, because in the end, like hopefully you'll get it. Like if you put in the time, like you'll get it. Like I came in very prepared, and like I never thought I would ever be here at UCLA. Like the imposter syndrome is real. Like you think like you're not meant to be here, and like you're not as good as other people, but like everyone has their own story, and like they're looking for like a specific type of person, and it's not just someone who has a good DAT. Like they probably don't, they actually never asked about that in my interview at all. Like they don't ask about that stuff. Like they want to get to know you. Like they know everyone who's applying probably has a good DAT and GPA. So it's like they want to know, like they wanted to know, they asked about my dancing, like the whole interview, like every interview. So it's like something that's like unique, like stick to those unique things.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Awesome. So, I mean, thanks Ashley for coming on. I really appreciate it. It was a really good talk. And I think that we got really good insight into what UCLA kind of has for its students. And anybody who's applying there, if you want to hit Ashley up on her socials, she has an Instagram. We'll link it with the episode as well. So again, thank you, Ashley, for coming on. Hopefully we'll have you back in about like 2 years, so you can give us a little rundown of, you know, how you excel from this point on.
Sure, I'd love that, yeah.
Awesome. All right, thank you.
Yeah, thank you.